A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
One is Mark and John's the other, they're just friends, they are not lovers. It's two old queens, they're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens, it's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello!
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am very excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who we are honored to have join us.
He's the writer and director behind the Eating Out films, Boy Culture, Before I Got Famous, and the animated series Rick and Steve. It's Q. Allen Braca.
Yay!
Hello.
Welcome. I am so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I love talking about gay movies. I love talking about movies. I love talking about gay.
Well, you're in the right place.
The right podcast.
And I love old queens. I count myself as one of them.
Oh, my goodness. We're amongst friends. We should all be having mimosas and going to bed at 8 o'clock.
After doing a sensible skincare routine. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Oh, we've been going through on our Patreon the entire Eating Out franchise.
Yeah.
So we've become big fans of them. I know. As of this recording, we have yet to do the open weekend.
We have one left to go.
We have one left before we close out the franchise. And there's one thing I noticed in all these movies that I wanted to ask you. I couldn't find any information about it.
Okay.
Before the Avengers did it, you were doing post-credit bonus scenes that are just sex scenes. And like that has now become like a trademark of the series.
Totally.
Where did this come from?
It was totally before Avengers. I hadn't even thought about that.
Give yourself more credit.
Yes. I just always loved, I can't think of a specific movie that did this before, but I always loved sitting and watching the credits. And then when there would be a post-credit scene, it always felt like such a treasure to me and so fun. It made me feel rewarded for being such an avid moviegoer. And I was like, I want to do one here, but what would make it really worthwhile? Let's just do nothing, just a sex scene. And we'll just always have a sex scene at the end. Make it worth sitting through the credits.
Well, it literally pays off.
Yeah. The movie's it's with a money shot. Yeah, the first movies I remember doing that are The Muppet Movie and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
But Ferris Bueller never showed like his ass.
That's what? Yeah, I remember
Cowards.
I used to go to these screenings of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And at the end of the credits, they would play that post-credit scene from Ferris Bueller because people were still in there.
Now that's meta. Levels that's upon levels.
Maybe that's what influenced it and put it in my head.
Right. Now, how do you think Eating Out, half of them are before like the app explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you think that,
all of them really,
right? Yeah, I guess they have in three, I think they have the
Eating
messaging.
In Eating Out 3, we've just introduced iPhones and the idea of... Even then, though, in 2006, the idea of streaming a video of yourself was not something that there was really technology for. We were kind of stretching the truth. But by the time it came out, it was like, oh, now we can do it. And it's not a big deal.
Right. That's also the best part of any movie that's in like that pre 2000-y, like internet, when we, before we figured out the internet, where they're just putting up an idea of the internet, like the Sandra Bullock movie, The Net. She's ordering a pizza and like dragging pepperoni onto the pizza. Right. And like, oh, I wish that's how the internet works. It, right.
There's so much typing on the internet in those old movies. Yes. Like,
do you think like online, like the online aspect has like, it obviously has changed gay culture, but do you think it's made it like better or worse or just different?
I don't think it's made it worse. Like certainly things that are bad might have come to light more clearly. But overall, sure. I think it's made it better. It's, you know, it, you can be anywhere and find a coming out support group.
Definitely.
You know, you can be anywhere and watch programs of yourself. You can watch stories it's about true. Yourself. I could not do that as a kid. You know, there was nowhere to go. I was going to libraries and checking out art photography books just to see two men standing next to each other and something.
It's art.
Right.
My dad was like a runner, so he would get like catalogs in the mail of like running supplies, like shoes and shorts. But then there'd be a page of just like guys in jock straps. And I was always be like, oh, yeah. Let me just flip through catalog. I love shoes. And like lingering on this page.
That'll confuse people. Oh, Bart's just looking at it for the shoes.
Sure. The shoes. But you had to take what you could get back then.
Yeah, definitely. I can't even imagine just being able to see whatever I wanted when I was 13.
Right, to have access to any kind of whatever stimulus you want.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or getting comments on something you posted from people like also in seventh grade. I can't imagine what going to like junior high is right now. But we are really living up to the two old queens. We really got a portion of the internet these days.
You wrote a postcard.
Well, you know, speaking of the internet and internet dating, today we're talking about a movie that deals with or dealt with such themes in the web series prequel. Today we're talking about Hello Stranger, the movie. John, what's the deal with Hello Stranger, the movie?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Hello Stranger, the movie. It was directed by Dwayne Baltazar with a screenplay by Daniel Saniana and Patrick John Valencia. It's a sequel to the web series, which was also called Hello Stranger. And the web series is about Miko, a nerdy college student, and Xavier, the star of the basketball team, who are paired together for a school project during COVID-19 lockdowns. And despite their stark differences, the two boys form an unlikely bond that goes beyond friendship through their several online interactions. But Hello Stranger, the movie, which is what we're really talking about, Xavier and Miko join a writing camp where they are randomly assigned as roommates. With their friends and other people around them twisting and turning them in different directions, will they be strangers no more or strangers again? It stars Tony LaBrusca, JC Alcantara, Vivory Escaleto, Patrick Quiraz, Gillian Vincio, Miguel Almendras, and Mian Espinoza. The film was released on February 12, 2021. I couldn't find any financial information or reviews, but gay Filipino blogger Christian Foremost wrote on his blog, which is christianforemost.com, "The movie is freaking perfect, and I'm sure all the fans all over the world loved it as much as I did." And that is the deal with Hello Stranger, the movie.
Well, so Alan, we asked you to pick a movie and you picked Hello Stranger, the movie. Why Hello Stranger?
Well, I hadn't seen it yet and it looked really, really cute. And I saw your list of all of your gay movies and I was like, we need more brown people on this.
Thank you.
We need more gay people on this.
Yes.
So it was gay characters. So I was like, what's it? I didn't know what it was going to be like. I wasn't familiar with the series. And sure. So I just picked that because I knew that I wanted to see it. And I'm glad that I did.
Yeah, what'd you think of it?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I'm all for a camp movie for young adults to go go find themselves.
Right, it was almost like a Disney Channel gay movie. Like this
it was.
Is
it was. It was like it was like if Disney Plus did Eating Out Drama Camp.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And why haven't they? I want to know. So it sounds like you liked it.
I did. I had a great time watching it. What did you guys think?
Yeah, John, what did you think?
Well, I had not heard of it. I didn't know anything about it or the web series. And so I watched it. I agree. I found it absolutely delightful. It was so sweet. It made me... There were times where I was a little bit confused with the movie. Not some things were unclear. So today I did watch the first episode of the web series, which I also found charming and delightful. I think there are 10 episodes. I plan on going back and watching them. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was really enjoyable and so impressive that they made it so quickly, you know, because the web series was filmed during COVID and this was
filmed in February.
Yeah, like it's wild. Crazy. Yeah, the turnaround was insane.
It's wild. And they're all talking like post-COVID.
That was like the most surreal part of it. Like when we were in quarantine.
Right, yeah. You mean 3 months ago? Yeah. But yeah, I absolutely enjoyed it. Found it so charming. How about you, Mark? What did you think of Hello, Stranger?
I thought it was like all you guys. I was like so sweet and fun. It had just such like a big heart. And like the cast is like really appealing. And the two guys, the leads, who are both straight, according to my research, they have like real chemistry, I thought.
Yeah.
Like I bought it. And it's a weirdly like, at the same time, it's very chaste, but also very horny at the same. Like they keep getting into like porny like situations. Like, oh, you got stung by a jellyfish. I'm going to have to pee on your leg. But it's played like goofy and sweet, or they cut away, or they're locked in a closet together. And like, right. Oh no, what are we going to do? And then they talk and, you know, it's like, oh, that went a different way. But it has these like, but the overall tone is very like, people are hachi machi for each other, which is fun. You know, I think, well, usually gay characters aren't allowed to be sexual, but these people actually obviously were like horny for each other, but they just don't act on it. Like the big, it's almost like a Lifetime movie, and like they hold off the final kiss for the very end.
Well,
like
the first kiss.
Is,
they've never kissed, and they're already saying "I love you." It's like wild.
What more do you need to know?
You get it.
Well, it sounds like we were all fans of Hello, Stranger. Mm-hmm. So, Alan, as you may or may not know, but I suspect you do, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel. Does that make any sense right now? No, but it will when we get to it. Don't worry about it. So this is our current ranking for the current top five gayest movies ever. So number five with an 89.03%, The Wizard of Oz. Number four with an 89.70%, The Apple. Number three with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number two with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And the current number one gayest movie ever with a 94.83%, Female Trouble.
All right.
Well, so, Female Trouble is amazing. I mean, what a wonderful thing to have at the top of your list.
I know.
I think it's Frankenstein and just like, maybe I need to watch that again.
I think you might need to.
It's more coded than overt. But if you had to guess now, how well do you think Hello, Stranger is going to do?
Well, I don't know that it could beat something like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but I do think it's way gayer than The Bride of Frankenstein, so I'm not sure where it will.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Fair enough.
Well, let's get it. So the first group of categories are the canon categories. So for each of these, we're going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So this first
category.
What's the canon category?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's just like an essential, like these, you like, gotta the, have canon.
This. Like this is, yeah.
Because later on we'll have bonus, which are just fun.
So these apply to every movie that you do, and then some you have.
Exactly, you get it.
You'll get it. Remember, I did say this was complex and Byzantine. Is there a reason it's complex and Byzantine? No, just for fun. All right, so the first category, how would you score Hello, Stranger, the movie, on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters? Well, there's at least four.
Like, does 100 mean like 100 gay characters?
It's like what percent? I mean, it's sort of what you want. It's sort of like what percentage of the characters are like actually gay or like essential, like main characters is usually how we do it. So it's not like one for one. You know, it's not like there are three gay characters, so they get 3 points. Okay. But I think, you know,
two main characters are both gay. So that's great.
Yes.
But then there's
another couple
characters, and most of them are not.
Some of them are. There's some.
There aren't so much.
But there's Simon, I think, what the.
Yeah, there's the visiting author.
Right, yes. Of like 21, and he's like this author that they all like revere. And I was like,
expecting it to be like a guy who's
revealing his identity for the first time in history.
Right. This weird writer's camp. Okay.
There was another couple there. Yeah.
The very like young skinny couple.
Yeah.
The young skinny couple.
But for the most part, like the friends are straight and the women, I think, are all straight. Alan, have you watched the web series at all?
I haven't. Okay. So I really enjoyed the film. I just watched it this weekend. And then I started to watch the first episode and I just didn't have time to sit.
Sure.
But I am going to watch all of them now. It was much more, I knew it was based on a series that was shot over Zoom. So I was expecting it to be a lot smaller than what it turned out to be. So it was really exciting to me. Well, because the two leads are gay, I would give it a lot of points for that, but there's not a lot of supporting ones. So I don't know.
You also don't have to go first. You know,
we could go first if
you'd rather.
Yeah, let you go first so I can kind of get an idea of what.
Sure, sure. Also, I'm happy to do that, but also it also doesn't matter, so don't put any pressure on yourself. But for me, because the main story is about two gay guys, although I guess you could argue or debate if Xavier is maybe not gay, is bisexual.
Yeah,
as she says, bi fluid, but that theirs is the relationship that we care about in this movie, that it's all about. And there are a couple of like supporting characters, so I'm gonna go 85. I think it's pretty high.
85. I'll go 75 because there's a for the same reasons, but just less impactful, I thought. So 75.
Okay. I'm gonna go 85 too. I'm gonna give it a pretty high score, partly because there are so few Filipino movies with gay characters in it. So it was a huge thing to make this many gay characters in a movie from the Philippines. So I'll go on the more generous end and give it an 80.
Perfect.
Great. Giving it an average of 81.67, which is about 62 points higher than The Sound of Music. So that's pretty good.
So yeah, more gay characters than Sound of Music. Makes sense.
How many gay characters were in The Sound of Music?
Max at Uncle least, Max, and a few of the nuns, we figured.
Probably.
It's only fair.
And most productions of Sound of Music, Rolf is also a bottom. So, you know.
Are you familiar? Like, what is the gay scene like in the Philippines? Like, is there like people open and clubs or is it more like quiet?
Those people are open. They're definitely clubs. I've only been there once as an adult and
I see.
Been out into the gay world there once or on that one trip. But, you know, everyone was open, but it is different. It's a different kind of acceptance than it is here, but it's changing really rapidly too. So I think there felt a lot, I feel like as a child it felt more advanced, like everyone knew somebody gay. But as an adult I feel like they're still kind of there, and I feel like in the Philippines more people knew gay people when I was a kid than in America. I feel like people, there were so many people who just didn't know a gay person at all or didn't think that they did.
Right.
So in that, from that perspective, it seemed a lot more open to me. But as far as the strength of the community and being able to pass legislation and all of these things that we've been able to do in the past 20 years, I think they're doing a lot of work there.
Well, speaking of work, our next category is drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Hello Stranger, the movie, and come away with a whole book of ideas?
I don't know a whole book, but there's definitely some moments.
Pages.
For sure. Like Kukai.
Kukai was kooky.
Her whole do at the beginning with all of the little things in her hair.
She was fun. I thought that like the teacher, the older woman, she's the professor, Tina, in the web series. And like when she appeared, they made such a big deal that I was like, oh, she felt honestly, not to blow smoke up your ass, but I was like, oh, she's like the Vandersloot is what I got. I was like, she's the Vandersloot of this movie.
Which one?
She was the professor. You know how like they reveal
the really colorful one?
Yes.
So yes, that one, she reminded, I didn't know her name.
Her name is Mian Espinosa.
She looked like Jiggly Caliente.
She did. I thought that as well. Yes.
So that is a definite drag queen.
Yes, absolutely.
She was inspired by drag queens.
Yes.
Because that was the first thing I said. Oh my God, she reminds me of Jiggly. Look at her. And I love Jiggly.
She had that leaves of the dress of leaves. And then she also dressed like an owl later on.
Yeah.
And then there was actual drag at the very end that I didn't understand why.
They announced at the very beginning, they're like, for the costume party at the end of the week.
Yeah, the vampire drag outfit that he was kind of wearing. Junjun was in. I didn't quite understand what he was. I felt like it referred to something that I just didn't know. But that was kind of, that was some drag too.
That was literally drag, yeah.
Definitely.
I also thought there was a shirt that I think Miko has a lot of fun shirts with some fun patterns. I thought that would like bright prints. He also had a shirt that said Edless Bummer that made me laugh. I thought that was sweet. Yeah, but not huge. I mean, you do get the sense like the cast maybe showed up with what was already packed.
Right.
There was definitely the color palette though was very, very,
very bright,
welcoming to drag, I think. Yeah.
Yes. The whole thing felt very like pleasant to look at. Like there was like an overall pleasantness of the whole movie, I felt.
It goes down really easy.
Big smile.
Yes, definitely. Right.
Which in a way doesn't have the little kind of the darkness and edginess of drag.
No. Not a lot of subversion happening. I guess maybe telling your dad, your parents, you don't want to play basketball is about as subversive as it gets.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It did feel like a gay movie you could watch with your grandparents, maybe. You know what I mean? It felt like that. Like it had a sense of like, we can all watch this. It's okay. Partially because it was so, it wasn't so sexually.
Very
kind of
a Love, Simon type feel.
Definitely.
So what would you give this for a drag queen inspiration?
So, I don't know, like a C, like 70%?
78?
Good, yes. Sure. Oh, I said 70, but 78. Oh. 78 is good. Whatever, C is good, right?
Sure.
What do you guys think?
We're not the experts or anything.
You are literally the expert.
I guess maybe just on this scoring system, right? I guess we are. We've done this a few more times than you, that is true. John, what do you want to give it for drag queen inspiration?
Yeah, I think it's not super amped up on looks as far as that goes, of where you're like, oh wow, that. So I will go 72.
72. I'll go 70 for that leaf and the owl looks. Those are fun. Give an average of 73.33, which is 9 points higher than Best in Show. Wow.
Okay.
All right, our next category, gay icons. Are there any gay icons in Hello Stranger?
Well, the two leads, but they're not really gay American icons, and they only became icons because of the series.
Sure, but that's okay. That's something.
So, I mean, if you're going because of the series, like the whole cast are gay icons in the Philippines right now.
This is the hottest thing.
They can't go to Pride in the Philippines. They'll just be moms. Right.
But from before the movie, I don't know of anyone in it who is from before the series who was a gay icon.
I think Tina has potential.
Oh, so it can definitely be potential. It doesn't have to be
like does have to be a couple notes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll give it a B because I think it's creating some gay icons for sure.
Sure.
So like a 85?
85 up right there with Mamma Mia.
I'll go 70 for gay.
Plus, is there anyone over 30 in this movie? Like, even the people playing Xavier's parents looked like they were like 32.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't feel like these people haven't been around long enough to be icons. What did you give it, John?
I gave it a 70.
70. Yeah, I'll give it a 70. Why not? Also, our own ignorance of Filipino culture is wearing its ugly head. I don't know. I'm doing my best here. Give an average of 75, which is 34 points higher than Eat, Pray, Love. So eat shit, Julia
there
Roberts.
You go.
All right, our next category. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Well, it's pretty. I'm trying to think of any time where it even looked at women in a sexual way.
Right?
It was just all about the boys. Like, and all of them had their shirts off at some point.
Yes.
It's true, yeah.
So
whoever chose Xavier's tank tops, kudos.
Well done. Yeah, well done. That wardrobe person.
Like got this with cutoffs and just sitting there studying and all you're looking at is his arms. Yeah. I would give it an A for that for sure. So like a 90?
A 90.
Yeah. Is that allowed?
Absolutely.
Please.
You're doing great. Yeah, I think they definitely make all the boys look very pretty and nice to look at. I think I thought Xavier, especially, I thought Simon, Marcus Patterson, who played Simon, I thought they definitely made him very like cute and adorable. Yeah, I'll go 91. I think this is all about making the boys look good.
91. Yeah, I'll go 92. continue this pattern.
Okay.
There's just a lot of times we're looking at Xavier through Miko's eyes, which was kind of fun. Like, you literally are looking through the male gaze. And that was fun. That rarely happens in any movie.
Bit where they're taking their pictures of each other secretly.
Yeah, right.
That's as male gaze as you can get.
Yeah. Absolutely. They were only like, they almost were like, oh, this is like a horny, like if gay, if born again Christians were allowed to be gay, it would almost feel like this.
It felt like a gay Mormon movie.
Yeah, totally. Like like in a perfect world, you'd be Mormon of, and gay and express it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's given an average of 91, which is 5 points higher than The Beastmaster. And that has a loincloth in it.
Okay. A lot of loincloths on that one.
It's mostly loincloths. All right, our next category, entrances with pizzazz. I did think it was very funny when they arrive at the writer's camp. Kukay is leaning out the window waving, but there's nobody else out there. But I thought that really made me laugh. She's really just so excited to be there.
One of the things it had in common with eating out drama camp is the number of attendees.
You can afford extras.
Yes. Yeah, I'm there. Let's see, entrances.
I thought Tina has a
Professor
good one.
Tina has a great one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. And there were definitely some moments where the camera played up these entrances, especially when Xavier and Miko kind of first realizing they're
bunkmates
into the same space. It's like that super long pushing either way. We're going kind of, like that is the most dramatic entrance I think that's coming to mind.
That would definitely felt like we need to make this longer. They're like, all right, we'll make it 30 seconds.
Also at the end when Miko and Xavier are like finally a couple and they arrive at the party and everybody loses their shit.
Yeah.
That's true. Like screaming and that would like make me want to stay home. Yeah, I was like, this is too much, guys. Guys, you need to chill out. Our relationship can't take this pressure. You're too invested.
All right. So let's give it a B plus, like an 85.
85.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's some really big ones. I'll go 82.
82. Also, Simon has a good one when we see him for the first time. Like, here's the author we've been waiting for.
Who's revealing himself for the first time in
public. For the first time in Philippine history.
A 19-year-old is coming out. It's like, how many essays could he have written? And got a book out of it? I thought they're pretty fun, though. Yeah, I'll give it an 82. Given an average of 83. All right, our next category, Hell on Heels. Now, this category, I mean like feisty women who aren't going to take any guff.
Well, there's two. There's
Kukai
and the...
she's fun.
The
Crystal, I think.
Tina, was that her name?
Tina is, she was like the teacher. The
teacher. I don't know, Crystal. She took lots of guff. I
mean, she was emotionally manipulative. I found.
About her is that she was like, "No, you're my boyfriend."
Right. Someone breaks up with her, and she has a complete meltdown.
I guess that counts. That okay? I was thinking of it in the reverse, but yeah. Okay, you won me over. So what is say it again?
Hell on Heels is the category.
Hell on Heels. Oh yeah, she was Hell on Heels. That for sure.
Okay, she's definitely wearing heels. Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely I'll give that a B plus two, like 85 for
85
on heels.
Yeah, I think there's not too many. One thing I did like about this is like even though Crystal is sort of annoying, she's not like really shrewish and horrible. Like they give her something where you feel bad for her. You know what I mean? Right. Like she's not just this horrible, a woman's ruining this gay relationship. So I will go 78.
78. And she also like lets go of her boyfriend very quickly. Yeah. She gets over it very quickly. Right. A lot happens in this book.
But I won't say it's not all her fault. I mean, she definitely is a little bit manipulative, but he could say, you know.
He could have stepped up. Right.
Yes, absolutely. They're all too nice, ultimately, so I can't give them too high. I'll give it a 55.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, you know, that's how I go. It's 72, giving it a 72.67, which is still 6 points higher than The Sound of Music.
Okay.
I think Hello Stranger is doing very well. And I have a tough time in this next category. Macabre. How macabre?
Oh, yeah, not very.
So there was a couple, a couple times I was confused in this movie, as I sort of mentioned earlier. There was a scene which I wasn't sure if it was a flashback or what it was, where we see Miko. It's sort of intercut in the scene where we have Xavier and Miko, our main couple, like having a heart to heart on the beach. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to a scene of Miko walking down the street drunk. And he gets hit by a truck.
Yeah.
And I was like,
a flashback, and I wasn't quite sure. And he got hit by a car.
Yeah. It was like some weird truck drove by, but it was like, it all happens off screen because really I didn't have the budget for it. But I wasn't. And then they cut back to the scene, and I was confused in that moment as to, like, is that something that had happened? Was that like a weird.
Maybe that was a
sequence, or
it must have been in the web series. It seems like a weird thing not to follow up on if that had
It wasn't that. I mean, I guess that was a moment, but yeah, that was kind of macabre. And just the whole idea of with Crystal telling I'm in love with someone else and like, I don't care, you're staying with me.
Yeah, right.
Kind of macabre, and like letting that go on for months.
Very Sunset Boulevard of her.
Yes.
Yeah. I also thought there's like a good 6 minute stretch where like Xavier wants Miko, but Simon's in the picture. Where I thought I could see Xavier murdering Simon. You know what I mean?
This was a different kind of nasty a little bit there
during the karaoke and then like the tug of war
bit.
Oh yeah, that got dark. Yeah.
Very dark.
The very dark tug of war at writer's camp. Yeah.
There's also something
a little macabre, but I don't know. It's most of all, it's kind of the opposite of macabre. So
yeah, it is a very sweet movie.
I would give it a failing grade for macabre, unfortunately. I don't know, like a 40.
A 40.
Yeah, I'll give it a 45, just mostly for that getting hit
45.
By a
truck. This is not a macabre. You're not leaving Hello Stranger thinking this is Black Swan. No. I'll give it a 17.
A 17?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was generous then. Okay.
You were very generous. Giving it an average of 34. Not
so
bad.
It's not really a grade system because I was like, 40 is an F.
All right, next category. Still dramatic running. Lighting. How dramatic is the lighting?
Not very.
No, it's pretty functional.
There's like the bonfire.
Yeah,
kind of fun. And like the final party is like pretty.
Party's got a little bit. There's
like some lighting, but mostly they had, it's pretty just bright. And
they had three crappy. Weeks, if that, to shoot this and the one location.
So I'll give that an F. Too, just because it's not dramatic, it's great lighting, but just
it works, you can see everything, right? Yeah,
well, no, it's got a mood, it's just not about drama. I don't know. So, 40 is a high F, so I give it a lower F,
whatever you want. It all sounds good.
Don't worry, mom, I got a high F.
I'll give it a 30 for dramatic.
A 30,
yeah, I'll go 35.
35. 30 sounds right to me. I'll give it a 30. Giving it a 31.67, which is still 6 points higher than Lady Bird. And that was released by A24.
Wow.
What do they know? All right. Our next category, vibrato.
So in addition to literal vibrato for this category, we also mean anytime they give you something a little extra. They take a moment, they sort of zhuzh it up, give you more than maybe the moment needs, but you like it.
Mm.
I think the overall like tone is like kind of like, I don't want to say like cheeky, but it's just like nice. I don't know. It's like a heightened reality where everything's like sweet and it all kind of works out. And that is like kind of like, there's a reassuring vibrato almost to it.
I felt like almost every scene was like two shots too long. like that entrance I was talking about where Cam was kind of cutting back and forth as they're just kind of getting together. There's always just like a couple of extra shots to really drive the point home about what's going on. Even though it's confused sometimes, still I felt like some stuff was kind of over the top. So does that count? Is that, or do you mean
put that
like
in there?
Character actions, like that kind of vibrato?
Just anything extra.
Could be any of those things. Those all work. To me, I really like the movie, but at the very end, like we have that final scene, not the final scene, but sort of like the next to final scene between Miko and Xavier. And they say, so I'm picking you. And he says, yes, final answer, final answer. And it's sweet. And then they go, so when we go to the dance tonight, are we going as friends Right. Or are we going to say, and I was like, didn't we just cover this? Like,
exactly.
I felt like,
everything like, feels like it's a couple things too long. Like,
yeah, a couple right? beats too many. I felt like,
well, you had to have the hello boyfriend moment that like completes right. the circle. I guess you could have just cut true. To that.
I guess, yeah, that to me was a, there was a lot of that of like stating the same thing a couple times.
Right. Yeah.
There was also a few moments where like they would do a fun sound effect when something goofy happened.
Yes. Like, it almost was like Drag Race at times.
Yeah. Also, the whole like the room assignment reveal is very dramatic when they find out who's in the room. That is like, oh my God.
Oh, and then the red pen from
Oh, right, yes.
The most dramatic use of office supplies I've seen in the movie in a while.
And also, there was a lot of karaoke singing. So there was a lot of literal vibrato.
A lovely voice out of that Xavier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so what do you want to give this for vibrato?
I'll give it a C plus 75.
Yeah, I'll give it a 74.
I'll give it a 75. Give it an average of 74.67. All right, our next category, footwork. How would you rate the footwork?
Footwork, like shots of feet or dancing or...
Yes, could be any of those things. Could be a chase sequence, an action sequence, dance numbers.
Tina does teach, I think it's Karen, how to dance on the beach very briefly.
Yeah,
it's like one shot. And then Miko has to show his mom he doesn't need crutches anymore from the car accident.
Oh,
now it's all making sense. He like does a weird little shuffle.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
But there's not a lot of not a big
choreograph. Stumbling like
there isn't a lot.
Miko home because he's drunk. So maybe there.
True. Dragging in your drunk friend. Definitely emotional legwork.
Yes.
Yeah. There's some arm work with their little shaboop hands. But they don't really do their feet.
Oh, the shaboop thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it doesn't pass the footwork test. I'm gonna have to go into F territory again. I guess like a 35.
35.
Yeah, I was gonna go 30 on footwork.
30. Yeah, I'll go 25. Give it an average of 30, which is 30 points less than the Fifth Element, which got 60 in footwork.
Was there? I don't remember that.
That flying. Opera diva moment. Yeah.
Yeah, opera diva. All right, our next category: spank bank deposits. Anything in Hello Stranger you'd put away in the spank bank?
Like as far as just like being hot or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
something you might think about later.
Scenes. Like just for hotness, all of the shots of everybody.
Right.
All of the boys. Like everyone's all the guys pretty. In it. Even the homophobe with his mullet.
Yeah, right.
Very tough haircut. Yeah.
So, I mean, it definitely has the hotness, but as far as like, this scene is like gonna. I want to.
Does this have the
there's not a lot of those. Like they barely kiss, right?
Right. This doesn't have a drama camp scene of.
Yeah, there's no like
the couch on stage,
licking each other's bodies and that stuff. So, what is it called again?
Spank bank deposits.
Yeah. So it's not really spanky. Spanky bank. So, I don't know. I'll give that a C too, like a 75.
75. This is more like this. If the category was emotional spank bank,
right.
This movie would be off the charts.
Very much, yeah. Like,
people want a romance, but maybe not the physical aspect of it as much, but they want to be swept away and, all that stuff. All that stuff.
All that girl stuff.
The cute guys with the shirt off. So it gets points.
Yeah, it gives you something to sort of remember.
But there's
for
just not a lot of action once they take their shirts off.
I'll give it an 82.
82. John.
They give you some nice eye candy in this movie.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'll give it 77, give it an average of 78, which is 8 points higher than the Ten Commandments.
Mm.
That's pretty good. All right. Our next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Hello Stranger, the movie, to a gay person?
100. I just did.
That's true.
To two.
I haven't even seen it. I'd totally recommend it. I love it.
There's also like no. I can't think of like another like even American movie that's like similar. That's like I guess it'd have to be Love, Simon, but even that's still like a coming out story of in some ways. It's not really. Is there even a there's like the Beat Me on the Ferris Wheel is the end. I think right.
Sure.
Am I the one who saw Love, Simon?
It's definitely a
romance. You did too. We saw it.
Did I see that movie? So 100.
Yeah, we need more movies like this.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it was great. I really enjoyed it. I will. I'm going to give it a 98 just because I might recommend watching the web series first before the movie. But I still say 98 because I still think it's a really good movie, really fun. And I agree, like, we should just be supporting these kinds of movies.
Absolutely. I'll give it a 99 just to make it an average. So I'll give it a 99. If it just had like a few more ass shots, it would be a
couple more cheeks.
All right, now we're into the wheel category.
So this, as we mentioned earlier, so these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We've put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're going to spin it four times, and whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. And then at the end, you will come up with a category, which you will add to the wheel. We can use to judge this movie and potentially future movies. So here we go.
Ellen, do you feel like you're tougher or on movies because you are a filmmaker, or do you find yourself being more lenient on movies because you know
the
struggles?
It depends on the movie, I think. Yeah. It depends. Sometimes I think I go.
They had the budget to do that
both ways in this conversation.
Yeah,
that's true.
Absolutely,
both more lenient and tougher.
All right. Well, our first category. This comes from The Shining, and it is openly weeping.
Oh my God.
You got a ton of that in this movie.
Mostly
that
weeping.
Was actually, when you said I was going to have to make up a category, that was the first thing I was thinking about. It was like men crying. There's so much crying. That's so funny.
So much crying.
A lot of crying.
Like a lot of crying, like a little bit too much. I didn't.
So it was funny to what you're saying, like the very end of the movie when Xavier is reading his essay and like choking up. There are some shots of other people listening, and a couple of the girls are like, okay, let's move this along. Like, it was sort of funny. And even they were like, okay, we get it. You're having a breakthrough, but we want to go to this party. Come on.
There's like four or five crying scenes right in a row near the end there.
Definitely.
So what's the category? Is it
openly
weeping? Openly weeping. Yeah, so it gets an A for openly weeping. I'll give it 100 for openly weeping.
100.
I'll give it a 96.
96. I think I gave it 100. I can't think of a movie that has more crying. I don't know. Giving it a 98.67 in openly weeping. That's pretty good. They were like two weeping scenes of this movie are like what action scenes are in a Fast and the Furious movie.
Okay, this one from Auntie Mame, backstage drama.
Backstage drama.
Like literally behind a stage, behind the scenes of a performance kind of thing?
Or, you know, metaphorical. Is there any backstage drama?
Well, I don't know.
Was there any sort of drama before Xavier had his big speech, or like any time before there's any sort of performance where there's maybe even like before the party a little bit, you could say? There's not a lot.
Not really. There's like pre-party
unless you
drama.
Count, unless backstage you mean like the flashbacks to the series, then it's like all this crazy drama about flashing back to telling my girlfriend
stage
I love someone
their
else.
Relationship.
She's like, no, you're going to stay with me. Does that count as backstage drama?
If you want it to, it sure does.
But there isn't really a show in it. I think that's what you might be going for.
Right. No, that's sort of what it came from. Yeah.
The only thing I could think of is maybe the show of the guest writer. And just kind of like,
oh, who's he gonna be?
And he's like, goes in to kiss him, and they're like, no, I don't know. I don't think it's very. I'll give it a 50, a high F because of the flashback drama, but it's not really a show.
A 50.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot. I'm gonna go 28.
28, and then I'm gonna be the Simon Cowell and give it a 16, giving it a 31.33. All About Eve, this is not.
No.
Okay, here we go. Fine art appreciation. literature, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I guess that counts, huh?
Absolutely. It's a fine art, isn't it?
I mean, well, they appreciate it a lot. They don't show it.
They don't do it, but.
Like.
No, they do write some stuff. They do some exercises.
I thought that was going to be like something that he wrote. Like, it was just kind of like, it wasn't a piece of literature. I thought that was going to be the way to win them. Oh, the post-its though. Does that count as literature? Like,
definitely that scene where he sees them all hanging in the.
We're calling those post-its fine art.
when they were all in that sort of bodega.
They're at a literature camp though. They're at a writing camp.
Absolutely.
So think of
the written word. What is more?
Where did they write?
Well, they're so excited for Simon de la Cruz. Like, you know, we can't wait to hear His book of essays is probably maybe fine art. We're being very lenient with the use of fine art.
But sure, I mean, the whole thing takes place at a writing
camp. It was a writing camp. Really? Yeah. Kind of cool, but it's not. Yeah. I don't know that. I give it a C, like a 70.
A 70.
I'll give it a 73.
73. I think we've all lost our minds. I'm going to give it a 55. Maybe I'm just mean. Given it an average of 66 in fine art appreciation. And then this is the
all
last.
Those exercises, those little exercises they were doing.
Absolutely.
The team building appreciation of fine art.
Definitely. Yeah.
Writing camp seemed to be mostly team building exercise. Right. And not so much reading and writing.
There was more tug of war than you would imagine would happen at a writer's camp.
Did Truman Capote have to do tug of war?
But it's much more interesting to watch than if they had just
yes, I would love to see Truman Capote and Gore Vidal journaling have a tug of war contest.
All right, from Ten Commandments, satisfying comeuppance.
Satisfying comeuppance.
James has one because James, he was the one we mentioned him. He's got the aggressive mullet haircut.
Oh, right.
And he's calls people gay and sort of uses it disparagingly. And he does get punched sort of later in the movie. So that's sort of like, sure. Yeah, he got his.
Yeah, it didn't feel very satisfying though.
There's like, no like antagonist really in this movie, really either. So there's no one you're like, yeah, they had it coming, like
put a cigarette out on her face.
Yeah. Maybe Xavier a little bit, like Miko telling him, what you think I'm ready for? You know
what
I mean?
That?
Miko
yeah, I
telling
that.
Him
something there. Yeah. Well, you're ready? Well, maybe I've made a different choice.
Totally. Yeah. Don't take me for granted.
Wait 5 minutes.
That'll show him. Now I'm the top. There was that joke in the movie where they say, I'm used to being on top.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, oh, do they know what they're doing in this? They must.
I really got to watch this web series.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess 25.
25.
I'll give it 35 for James.
I'll give it 30. I'll give it an average of 30. I mean, it's no homophobe's mother getting come on by her son, but what can
no,
you do?
It's not bad.
Not every movie is sloppy seconds, unfortunately.
Did that get a good score?
Yes. Well, they were all rating them. We're trying to find the fun. They're on a separate score. We're trying to find the gayest of all the Eating Out movies.
Oh, which one's the gayest so far?
I can tell you exactly.
Drama Camp, I believe, is by far the
I think it's Drama Camp
gayest.
Is by far the gayest.
I mean, it's set in a drama camp.
And had a musical number.
Yeah. Does that feel right to you? Or is the open weekend much gayer?
Oh, yeah, it probably is. I think it might be gayer.
Well, I can't wait.
Can't wait. I'm very excited. All right. Now, Alan, the time has come for you to come up with a category that we can use to judge Hello Stranger and then every other subsequent movie because we'll add it to the wheel.
Something that makes a movie gay. Do you have like dramatic push-ins?
No,
we don't have
that. Could work in a that could be in
so
a
many
number
ways.
Of levels.
Is that a good category?
It's a great category. How do you think that makes a movie gayer?
By elevating the drama, just going into someone's face and like being in their world and just milking a moment.
Yeah, it's like kind of a camp.
Maybe that's it. Milking moments. Maybe it's more
milking
like that.
Moments. Milking also filthy. You did write the Eating Out movies. Milking moments.
Milking moments.
Milking
I love it.
Moment. Yeah. Let's do that instead.
I love that. Milking moments. Disgusting. Love it. Great. So, what would you give Hello Stranger in milking moments? Quite a few.
Yeah, it gets 100 for milking moments.
100.
Like I felt every scene really milked its moment.
Like, look, we only have 12 scenes in this movie. We gotta make the most.
Can't leave anything left over. Yeah, I'll give it a 95 for milking moments. I think it definitely really goes for those moments.
I mean, yeah, just the scene where they figure out room assignments is just riddled with pathos. I'll give it 93, the year Jurassic Park came out, giving it an average of 96. All right, now we are into the bonus category.
So these categories, as stated, are bonus categories. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's not going to work against the movie. These points are just extra bonus points. And so it's just now on a score from 0 to 10.
All right, so this first category. How would you rate Hello Stranger in musical potential? Could this movie become a musical?
Absolutely.
I think so. Yeah.
Very really easily.
There's
many musical moments in it already. Like there's the karaoke scene and like
I think instead of milking those moments, a musical number would have been kind of awesome.
Instead of crying, try singing.
Yeah, I think
I do worry. Really, like, yeah, the torch songs. Yeah, it's got the beats for a great musical and a great title too.
Definitely.
For that's a musical, a Hello Stranger.
Yeah. Awesome. I think also because the plot isn't that convoluted.
Right.
So like with musicals, it's like you need to take breaks for songs. And so sometimes mm-hmm. if something's too plotty, it doesn't work. Right. But I think like adding songs to this, I think would work really well and sort mm-hmm. of strengthen it.
Yeah.
So what would you give this?
So what is it?
Zero to 10.
0 to 10 for musical potential.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it a 10.
A 10.
I'm also going to give it a 10. I think it would work really well. I mean, it's so sweet and romantic. Like it would work. It would be a no brainer.
It'd be like a gentle, you got to see the Sunday matinee of Hello Stranger musical.
Yeah. Like
songs by Sarah Bareilles.
Thinking back to this movie thinking, was this a musical? I think it was. You
know? Yeah. I was swept away. All right. Give it an average of 10. Pretty great. All right, next one, queer menace. Are there any queer menaces in this movie?
What do you mean by that?
You know, someone who's like unabashedly queer and strikes terror in the heart of uptight straight
people. Sort of like, yeah, people are like worried that like this weird outsider is coming into our town and threatening us. I don't think so. To me.
Well, there's no one to menace, really.
Like, I mean, Xavier was the only one who seemed to have like struggling with his identity, but it wasn't, he didn't seem to think it would be bad if he was attracted to a man. He just wasn't sure if he was. That was the impression I got.
I guess Simon was a queer menace to Xavier in some ways, but that's a big stretch. But that's not because of his queerness. That's just a romantic rival.
Yeah, like a rival.
Not very many menaces. I think like Crystal is the biggest queer menace. But she's not even queer.
But she's like a menace to queers, right?
Right.
She's queer. Sure. Yes.
Maybe menacing the jellyfish.
The jellyfish. Yes. No. Absolutely. Jellyfish have got to be queer.
They're at least fluid.
So like two. It's just not really
a two.
Menace-y.
Yeah, I'll give it a one.
Yeah, I'm also gonna give it a one, giving it a 1.33, tying it with Best in Show again. That one comes up a lot. All right, our next category, character actress makes a big swing. Well, I think Tina, Miana Espinosa as Tina is pretty
fun.
What
do you count as a big swing? Like what?
She's just got a lot of energy. She's like has a bedazzled microphone.
Something that you feel like that could fail, but it
yeah, I mean, went for it. Yeah, I guess her is kooky. Character actress, I mean, she's kind of over the
I think so.
Well, they're also for her. Everyone is like so cute in this movie. It's hard to think of anyone as like a character actor or actress, you know, like
right.
You're all too attractive.
I was sort of hoping for Tina Moran, that one we were talking about. Like, I wanted her to have almost like a Bette Midler moment. Like, I was expecting her to like do a number at the costume party or something.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted her really to have a bigger moment for sure.
Because also,
yeah.
when she appeared, if you've only watched the movie, like when she appears, everyone's like, yes, it's her. It's amazing. And having just watched the movie, you're like, oh, who's this woman? She's going to be a big deal. And she's sweet and she's nice, but she doesn't have that big moment.
I expected
and
I think more, like, at least like one-liners or some kind
exactly,
of.
Exactly. Yeah.
She's kind of like the woman in Showgirls who hosts the original.
Oh, Henrietta Bazoom.
Yeah. Henrietta Bazoom.
Yeah.
I almost wanted more like singers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you want to get this character actress makes a big swing?
Like five.
A five.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of them.
Yeah, I think there's not a lot. I'm just going to go one, unfortunately.
I'll go three because she does have some fun looks.
She does.
Giving it an average of three. All right, next category. Witches. How witchy is this movie? Not a lot of spirituality of anything.
Any spells cast on anybody?
Spells, no
I mean, there's that
so.
Kind of vampire thing at the end. That there's no
yeah,
that's true.
It's kind of a witchy element.
A little bit of costume right. stuff at the end.
Are post-its a form of spell? Maybe covering like, you know, like runes covering like a cabin, like they use post-its over a beach tent.
I'm probably gonna have to go with a one,
yeah.
For the costume.
Yeah, yeah, I'll go one for the costume party as well.
I will also go one. Give her an average of one. All right, our next category. Gay actors playing gay roles.
I don't know of anyone in it who is gay. I don't think the leads are, but I don't know if any of this. Well,
what
actually,
about Maybe Marcus Patterson, playing? Who played Simon, or those other two, that other couple, those two boys? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't know.
It was hard. I Googled. I couldn't find confirmation that anyone was gay.
Yeah,
I just don't know.
The guy who plays Xavier did get in trouble for the law for assaulting a woman at the beginning of the year, though. No. So,
okay.
Taking off her top against her will in public.
Maybe that gay couple that was there?
They gotta be, right? Right? You know?
I don't know.
I hate to stereotype. They were
awfully skinny.
They were very good. Yeah.
So convincing.
Let's give it 2 points for them. Maybe.
Two.
Yeah, I'll give it 2 for them as well. That sounds right.
I'll give it a 2. Give it an average of 2, which is tying it with I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. That's tying it.
Did
with
I have fame. Gay actors playing gay roles?
Gay actors playing gay roles?
There's in the galas. There's a gala scene. I think we gave them some points there. Okay. All right, our next category, themes of mothers.
We do meet Xavier's mom on the phone.
Uh-huh.
There's some nagging parents at the beginning.
Yeah.
But not really a theme of the movie.
Yeah, they're not like worried about what their mom is going to say.
Well, I think Xavier's a little worried. He does mention like telling your parents.
That's true.
When he's like confiding in his friend. But not really.
Who was Coupe's hang up with? Was it like?
It was with her sister, wasn't it?
Or sister Karen.
She was dating Seth. Seth, what's his name?
Seth.
Yeah.
Because he was not her expectations, but he exceeded them.
Right.
I was like, what was the problem?
And why would you say that to him?
Right. Yeah.
You don't meet my expectations. Oh, you exceed them.
The awfully long pause between those two lines.
Don't go for
that's
suspense.
Another milking moment there.
She really one. Did.
Yeah, not so much mothers. I guess, I mean, because they were there, I'd give it a 3, but there wasn't like a whole lot of themes.
No. A 3.
I'll give it a 1 for themes of mother.
Yeah, me too. I'll give it a 1. Give it right, a 1 point.
3 to a 2.
Wow.
No. Stay strong. Don't worry about it.
I'll leave it at 3. We'll leave it at 3. All right, next category. Pearl clutching. Is anyone morally outraged ever? I think Xavier's parents, mode, right? Right? Xavier's parents a little when they're like, we don't understand.
Yeah, I'm going to call you back
right.
later.
Right. Know.
Yeah. We'll deal with this scene later.
We don't want to write this scene right now. So we'll call you later.
The most dramatically fraught scene. Don't put that in.
We will save it for the sequel.
There you go.
There was a little bit of like fun buzz when they showed up at the party. I wouldn't say it was pearl clutching necessarily.
No, everyone's like so celebratory.
I mean, the only pearl clutching is really the Miko. Like when Xavier tries to kiss him, he's like, "I'm a baby." Like,
yeah, that was so like, that was weird. I'm still a baby.
You guys haven't kissed, and what does that mean? And like, is that a virgin thing?
Is
or
that
like,
a fetish
never
thing?
Kissed anybody? Or
yeah,
yeah.
So I mean, that was the biggest pearl clutch.
You want to kiss me and we're both adults?
We've had 3 scenes establishing that we're together now. Okay.
Right. And then the totally milked overreaction to him coming out of the shower and the other guy opening
oh,
the door.
Yes. Oh right, yes.
Like it's not that big of a deal. Like what's wrong? Shut the door.
Give him a second. Shut the door.
How is this a notebook huge problem? It's lasting 2 minutes here. Pearl clutching. So like a 3 for
a 3
for Miko in his.
Pearl yeah, clutching. I'll give it a 1 for pearl clutching.
I'll give it a 2 for I'm still a baby, which was very funny. I thought. All right, our next category, quips. How quippy is Hello Stranger?
You know, it could have been more quippy.
I got to tell you, for eating out all those movies, I have to stop writing really down well. All the quips. They are packed with quips. Yes. So kudos
you
to you,
a little
sir.
Over the top on those.
No, not far enough. No, I'm in heaven.
Other
Nobody
people need to catch
quip.
Up with you.
Yeah. Movies don't do quips anymore. I did write down one guy says, bro, I have 2 moms, remember? Not really a quip, but I thought it was funny.
I don't know, a 4?
A 4.
Yeah, it's not very quippy. It's more of like a sweet, it's a very sweet movie. It doesn't have a lot of like sarcasm in it. So I'll give it a 2.
2. I'll give it a 2 as well. Giving it a 2.67. Have I been telling the totals at the end? No, I'm doing it now. All right, now we are into the iconic category.
So these categories are sort of broader, more larger umbrella categories, and we're back to 0 to 100 for these.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry.
I told you this was complex.
What does iconic mean?
These are huge, big, like all the other categories.
Like an icon,
probably
like
fit some... under one of these three.
Oh, I would okay. say.
Like you'll see, the first yeah. one is homoeroticism. How okay. homoerotic is this movie?
Well,
I think it's pretty homoeerotic.
Homoerotic, yeah.
What it's funny. About... So in putting together, like in like trying to like gather all the information from for the movie, I noticed a lot of reviews. People kept talking about like, oh, they really captured the killing moments. Had you heard of this? I had not heard of this phrase before. And so I looked it up because I was already on my computer.
Smart.
And I found it very, thank you. And so here's what Google told me. So it's killing, K-I-L-I-G. Maybe I'm mispronouncing that. I apologize. But it says, in the context of Philippine culture, the Tagalog word kilig refers to the feeling of excitement due to various love circumstances, such as making first eye contact with one's crush or watching another person propose to someone.
Mm.
When I read that, I was like, it made so much sense to me because I feel like watching this movie, I was like, it just felt so sweet to me and it felt so romantic and like charming in that way. And it felt like I didn't realize that there was like a word that like specifically focuses on that moment. And it felt like, oh, this makes sense that people were complimenting for this because I felt like this movie really nailed that. It really did capture those feelings of excitement when you have a crush on someone and the butterflies and that weird, like you're not quite sure what's happening or what's going on. But I thought it did such a beautiful job of catching that. Which I think it's not like homoerotic, like it's not like sexual necessarily, but I felt like that was such an overall feeling of this movie to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then like you have Xavier peeing on Miko's leg.
And then you have those moments as well. Yes.
So there's something for everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some more, not explicit, but yeah, the peeing on the leg and then the making it kind of look like
blowjob,
something else was happening.
Ah.
Then you've got the writer guy with his pen cap moment.
Sure, sure.
What else is in
Can't
there?
Do that with a retractable. Just like catching each other naked and like
Yeah. When he first takes off his shirt and he kind of looks up from underneath.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Those big moments. I'll give it an 8 for that.
We're back to 0 to 100.
Oh, then an 80.
80. That math works.
Nice. Let's see how I did that. I think there's an overall sweetness to it. It's not like necessarily like erotic, but the sweetness I think is pretty universal in a way that I felt I like enjoyed that feeling that I think it captured really well. I'm going to go 87.
87. I'll go 81. I think it's fairly given an average of 82.67. All right, our next one, over-the-top wardrobe. Anything, nothing too crazy in this. I did think Xavier does wear a shirt at one point that says versatile on it. Looks like, do they know what they're saying?
Yes, of course.
Right? I was like, that's
there's definitely moments, and I do like everything is bright, and the wardrobe choices are all fitting in with that theme and kind of, what's the name of the category again?
Over the top wardrobe.
Over the top. Oh yeah, so it's not over the top.
It's not over the top. Tina has a few fun looks and there's stuff at the costume party.
The leaf dress.
Tries hair a couple of times, but
when Xavier is giving
party
his
at the end.
And then when Xavier is giving his speech at the end, his distressed shorts are more distressed than shorts.
Okay.
Which I thought that was kind of crazy.
It's sort of his emotional state through his shorts.
I see.
Definitely.
He's distressed.
Yeah.
And so on a scale of 1 to 100, I'll give it a 75.
For
I think that. It's pretty, I'm going to go 55 because I feel like it's pretty much just sort of like, for me, it's just sort of, it feels very natural. There's very little that anyone could be wearing on the street that I'd be like, that's odd.
Just like the leaf dress that Tina shows up in. So I'm going to give it a 30 in over the top wardrobe. That's all right. Give an average of 53.33. And then finally, the last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Hello, Stranger?
I mean, it's pretty campy because
There's a karaoke
off. All of the issues with it, like, like how things felt both over-explained and completely unexplained at the same time. Like, I still don't understand some things. Yeah, and then just the sweetness is so sweet that it's campy, I think. But it's not female trouble campy, for sure. No. You know,
definitely not. Two different universes.
So I don't know. Like, I'll give it an 80 for camp.
80.
Yeah, I think I had a question which really has nothing to do with camp, but since we're here, I'll ask it. So this movie is mostly in, I think, Tagalog or like Filipino, but then every so often they have like a couple lines in English.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious if there was like a rhyme or reason to that. Is that something like, was there like the lines that were spoken in English, was there like any method to that, or was it, is that just
It's common. It's really common over there to speak English sprinkled in, especially with younger people.
To just go back and forth, because it was like fascinating to me. I mean, I only speak English. I'm dumb that way.
Right.
But like, I imagined I must be quite a little head trip for someone, or I guess maybe it's not. It's pretty common to just like go back and to just, it seemed like they just were back and forth and constantly, and it didn't seem to.
I've seen that in a few countries where there's just a lot of English usage, but and dropped in almost sometimes feeling randomly, like, oh,
right, yeah.
I wasn't
like, oh, every time they're angry they speak English, or every time this happens, that, you know, it just seemed like this line we're gonna say in English because I feel like it.
Yeah, unfortunately I don't speak Tagalog, so I wish I understood like when to go back and forth and how to just
there are rules about it, I just noticed
that it's happens a lot more with younger people.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's the internet for you.
That's internet for you. Well, all right. That being said, for Camp Factor, it feels to me more like a sweet movie than a campy movie, but there definitely are some camp moments. I'm going to go 63.
I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Running late for writer's camp, having to prove your leg isn't broken anymore, running a personal vlog about the joys and pains of life, getting so horny you have to clutch your neck pillow, Polaroid cameras, a group of girls screaming when a gay couple kiss, a game of never have I ever that drips in pathos, dramatic use of post-its, being threatened by your romantic rival's beautiful singing voice, a game of tug of war leading to emotional devastation, telling your parents you're quitting basketball and you're in love with a guy on one phone call, copious amounts of weeping, getting applauded for your final essay that had no specifics, and finally, of course, Simon is too cool to dress up at the end. So I think it's fairly.
It takes place at a literal camp, I just realized.
Yeah, that's right. True. The Camp Factor.
That's true.
That's a good point. We gave drama camp points for that very reason.
We did.
As well.
Yes.
I'll give it a. I think I'll give it an 84. I think it's fairly campy, and the tone overall, it's like reading like almost like an remind me of like Archie comics in a way. It's just like a sweet alternate universe where like you only have to worry about your relationships,
right? And the only obstacles in anyone's way are just people deciding to not be obstacles anymore.
You just have to give people 5 minutes and they'll figure it out.
You know what, I'm gonna tell my sister about you. Yay.
All right, finally we are now into the crown jewels.
Okay, so these categories, we're almost done. We don't rate them. We all agreed either gets this bonus or it doesn't.
All right, so the first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. I think it does.
Yeah, I think I'll definitely give it to it. Yeah, definitely. No one is at all ever shamed or made to feel bad or embarrassed.
And the one dumb guy.
I mean, it's not homosexuality, but I really like that they left Xavier identity a little bit more open, like it got someone who's definitely gay and then someone who's still not really sure where he is,
so, yeah, and that felt very natural. Like it just felt like a natural thing of like I don't know where I am, as opposed to like I don't want to be this thing, you know.
Right, yeah, I love that. And then everyone that he came out to, like his friend that he came out to, everyone was great. The only time someone wasn't was when she said, I need to call you back later because I don't know how to process this. Yeah.
Joss was like, yeah, you can give the mom the moment. You know
what I mean? give her a second.
So, yeah, I think we all agree.
I think it gets it. All right. Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right. That's it. We're done.
We're done. We finished.
Story behind that rule.
So, Alan, now that we've been through it all, do you still think, how do you think the movie did? Do you still think it's somehow?
I mean, I don't think it's the gayest movie of all time. I don't think it's
sure
above Rocky Horror, but I do think it's above Bride of Frankenstein, so I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
I'll tell you exactly how it
But in your scoring, it's obviously clearly not going to be a, I don't think it's got that high, right?
Well,
let's find out.
Out of a total possible 2,524.96 points, Hello Stranger the movie has scored 1,882.63, giving it a percentage of 74.56, making it the 23rd gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Mulholland Drive, but gayer than Labyrinth.
Okay.
Okay. That's not about right.
All right. I think it's gayer than Mulholland Drive.
Could be.
I think Labyrinth is gayer than Mulholland Drive.
David Bowie and Miller, it's tough.
Right. Yeah. The two titans, the two polarities of everything.
What a fun list.
Thank
23,
you.
I'll take that out of how many? How many movies are
108, I believe, right now.
Wow. Yeah, 108. And it's still, I mean, Mulholland Drive has 74.80. Hello Stranger got 74.56. So it's very close.
It's very close.
Awesome.
Well, congratulations. Well,
thank you. David Lynch.
Eat shit, David Lynch. Yeah, what have you ever done for cinema? Nothing. Thank you so much for doing this. It was such a treat. We've been such fans of the Eating Out films. They've been such a delight to watch. We watch so many dumb, boring movies sometimes. So like this has been like a lot of, they've been so fun. And I just really, it was like, I'm so glad I was able to watch them. And I thought they were still hilarious just as they ever were. There's been so fun to watch
such treats.
Well, thanks. I haven't listened to them yet. So I want to listen to your whole series on them. I'm excited about it.
Was there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
I have a new series, Boy Culture. It takes place 10 years after the movie, the same actors. It's very much the reverse of Hello Stranger the movie.
Oh, okay.
We're making a web series that follows up a movie, whereas Hello Stranger.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Followed up a web series. And that will be premiering, I can't say, but next month.
Okay. Oh, very soon.
It's not yet official. I think it will be announced this week.
Oh, I see.
Excellent.
So everyone keep an eye out for that. Well, thank you so much. You've been such fun.
Such a delight.
And we'll be right back.
We're back.
Hello, stranger.
Hello,
we're back
stranger.
From break.
That was so much fun. That was such a sweet, charming movie.
And you were expecting to hate it, I remember.
I was expecting. I was like, I am not going into this with a good attitude, is what I said.
My arms are
crossed.
Two nights
ago,
I'm stewing.
I might not even take notes, but I did, and I'm so glad.
I do have, speaking of notes.
Okay. Let's hear
it. We got a message via our Instagram at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens.
Thank you.
From a guy named Ben. I won't tell you his last name. In regards to, we got a couple of responses in regards to retooling the potential to be a musical.
Okay. Let's hear
heard of it? You know how we're doing that, John?
I've heard of that. Yes.
You've heard of this issue? Mm-hmm. He said, what if the question was something like, could it inspire a musical? Which I think is the same thing, Ben, but okay. Uh-huh. Is the story rich enough to explore on stage? For example, he says, Julie Taymor's The Lion King. It is more or less the same dialogue, music, and lyrics, and yet the musical is completely different in the puppetry. Stylized dance, movement, mask work, artsy-fartsy stuff like that. And then I said, that's interesting. I said, then I asked him, like, what score would you give it? And he said, he'd give it an 80.
He would give Lion King an 80?
Yeah, the movie. But then we had someone else, our good friend, Adam Palm Crash Valentine, I'll say that's his handle, harass him. He'll be fine if we mention him. He said, what if the change in the category, this is a very simple change, but it might be good. What if it becomes potential to be a good musical?
Well, that's sure. Do you think you would rate things very differently because of that?
No, because I think I'm always like inherently ideally it's a 10 if it would be a good musical.
That's,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
That's what I think too. What I try to do is imagine, like, would making this musical improve it? As opposed to just...
Well, what does that mean? Improve what? I guess I'm saying, like, improve,
I think, to
what?
Me, like a property that I think would do well as a musical, something that has heightened emotions, obviously, because in musicals, like, people sing, but they just... It's not like they just randomly sing, but it's like their emotions,
Twilight?
Are so big, it causes them to sing. I suppose Twilight would work, definitely.
Haven't they done a Twilight musical? That seems obvious.
I don't know. Maybe it's too much money?
For what? I don't... Glitter makeup?
Exactly, for all the glitter makeup
caps?
For Twilight. I don't know if there's been a successful vampire.
Get Evanescence to do the music. It's done.
Done. Okay. Well, there you go.
So I don't know if we've solved it. These are lateral ideas. So
right, I agree.
Sorry to roast the nice listeners who wrote
thank you.
In.
Thank you for writing in, you idiots.
I do think that when it's a musical, like, I kind of want to do like the Mamma Mia 2. Or Grease 2, like, could it inspire like a fun sequel? Like, would you want to see a sequel? You know
what
I mean?
I guess there's a part of me that feels like, much like with the category itself, like musical potential, where it's like, yeah, you could always do a sequel. Like, they did a sequel to Jaws. Like, they can do a sequel to anything.
But would it be a good sequel?
I mean,
I don't know. We're just talking.
We're just talking.
We do need to do something to that category. It gives musicals an unfair advantage.
True, true. Maybe it's not a bonus category anymore.
That's true. We could just kill it next time we revamp. Maybe
that's
the solution.
We could move it to the wheel.
Move it to the wheel. That might be the answer.
That might be the solution.
Sorry, suckers. What do you think we should do?
Yeah, let us know.
Tell me so I can make fun of you.
We are due for a shakeup of categories. So let us know about any kind of category.
We've been in version 4.0 for a long time now.
In September, we are due for a sort of refreshing. So that's coming up.
We were due like 6 weeks ago for a refreshing. But that's okay. No, this is the longest I think we've had since a refresh.
Okay, well, if you say so.
I look at the spreadsheet every day, John.
Every day, even when we don't record
every
or
day.
Watch a movie? Wow, so dedicated. Well, yeah, let us know what you think. You can email us at 2OQueens, T-W-O, you spell it, 2OQueens at gmail.com. Let us know what you think, anything we got wrong, any category ideas. We love hearing from you. We will not necessarily roast you, although that could happen, but who doesn't love that? It could happen. Absolutely.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, T-W-O Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes. Or if you want to support this podcast, there are several ways you can do it. One of which, we have a lot of merch. If you go over to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun images and stuff you can buy for yourself and your friends. And a proceed of all the profits go to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you are helping people out. And also, we have a Patreon. It's Two Old Queens, the retirement plan. Go over to Patreon. And for $5 a month, you get another episode every week. And as we've mentioned, we are right now finishing up our Eating Out series, written by our guest today, Q Allen Bracca. Check that out. And that is it.
And next month, we're kicking off returning
going back to
Queen's Choice.
Queen's Choice.
So John and I will pick the movies.
Mark
for
and
month.
I will be picking movies. Yep. And I'm picking the next two. So
keep an eye out for that. Well, thanks for listening. Stay safe, everyone. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.